podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. Oh, Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, brought to you today from sunny San Francisco, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. Today's intro is brought to you by yours truly, Julianne Chai, the guest announcer for the week. Chris will be back very shortly, unless he plans to hire me to do this intro gig permanently. Anyway, when you're done listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast, point your browsers to www.bicoastalite.com. That's www.bicoastalite.com, where you can find out more about my Hope Runs, 7 Marathons on 7 Continents in 7 Weeks Challenge, as well as my other running adventures. So, wherever and whenever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. It'll be a short one, but I'll get it in. So, you ready for some fun? Come on, then. Let's go for a run.
Hey, folks. This is Chris, and welcome to another episode, episode 63, which I believe is a prime number, maybe, of the Run, Run, Live podcast. Today, we've got a great show for you. I apologize if there's a little bit of audio degradation here because I am in a hotel room in Zurich, Switzerland, and it's midnight local time, but it's only 6:05 East Coast time, so I can stay up for a little while longer. The only gating factor is I do have to step on an airplane and fly back home tomorrow morning. Hopefully I have a better flight than the one I had out. It wasn't bad, but I had this whiny lady in front of me who complained the whole time. It was annoying. And I had a crying baby, too. But, you know, babies cry. That's what they do. So I just got a nice run in, ran up this mountain out here. It's a mountain about 1K from the hotel. And I took some audio. I'm going to send it over to Kevin at the Extra Mile Podcast. And you can listen to that over there, a little running audio. I ran the Atlanta Marathon with the Georgia ING Marathon with Jason and Sean and Jenny last weekend on Sunday. And it went off very well. Had a nice run on Tuesday, had a nice run tonight, so things are going well for me. You know, I feel pretty strong. Calf's still a little sore, but it's okay. I'm doing okay. I'm all set for Boston in a couple of weeks. Real busy, real stressful, real busy, but hanging in there. So I hope everything's going well with you. What's going on? Hey, we got this Trilogy Boys here. I think Jason, he set up a challenge on Bucket Outdoors so you can join the teams, and it's podcaster. It's like a survivor thing, right? So whoever has the least miles each week gets eliminated. So I'm not really going to try. So you can either go support me or Nigel or somebody out there for that. Don't care. But people are already starting to make alliances. I've got emails from different people, so it's kind of funny. So anyhow, we got a great show for you today. We got Bicoastalite with a great story about some things she's doing to personally empower herself and to think big and to help some children in Africa. So next week, too, well, I'll save next week for the outro, I'm a little brain dead, and just a lot going on, so enjoy the show, lots of love in your direction, stay positive, it is springtime, the happy little green shoots are pushing up through the ground, the twigs are sprouting on the trees, and everything's beautiful. You get the cherry blossoms in D.C. this week. So, hey, guys, this is a time to celebrate, huh? On with the show.
All right, here we are at the Atlanta Marathon. That's with the heater in the background, the hotel room. I'm looking out my window at the start and finish line. I'm like, and the big crowds are walking in that direction. It's about 6:18, race starts at 7, 6:20-ish. So my routine in the morning is I like to get about 2 hours before the race, start getting started about 2 hours before the race, because my old intestinal tract needs a while to warm up, if you know what I mean. And so I get up, I make some coffee, drink some coffee. And about 90 minutes before the race, hour and a half, I eat a power bar just to get something in my stomach with the coffee. You know, maybe I'll take my vitamins, maybe, you know, or maybe a light meal or a banana or something. It really doesn't matter. You know, you have the fuel you're going to have at that point. You just try not to screw anything up. Have a couple of cups of coffee while I'm getting ready. First thing I do, I try to lay out my stuff the night before, but you know how that is. First thing I do is I tape my big toes, because I have this genetic big toe where my big toe is bigger than all the rest of my toes. So I wrap it in white, you know, hockey tape, athletic tape. Keeps it from pulling the toenail off. Keeps me from getting black toe. And then I'll take my Flexol 454, my warm-up gel, and I'll just self-massage my legs for a while, a nice big helping dollop of Flexol 454. And then I will get dressed. By that time, things are moving, if you know what I mean, and keep drinking my coffee and do my stretching. And then I start to grease up, which is I use my Aquaphor, which is my favorite thing for greasing up. And I take my Aquaphor and I spread a little bit around my toes and my feet just to give it a little extra slipperiness, prevent hot spots, makes a difference. Get my socks on, get my shoes on, put a little grease on all my naughty bits, on my nipples, that little spot underneath your arms where it rubs, and all around my belt line, especially if I'm wearing my slant pack, that's real important. And I do my full stretch. I do my my Achilles and my hands and my quads and my all the rest of the stuff I can remember. And then I'm typically ready, you know, and it's just a question of how many times to hit the porta potty after that. I don't drink a lot of Gatorade or any of that. Just try not to be dehydrated, because there's usually plenty of fluid on the course. And the age I'm at right now, it takes me 10 miles to warm up anyhow. So, you know, it's no real point in trying to be all race ready when the gun goes off, especially if I'm not racing, if I'm just running within myself. So anyhow, that's it. I'm going to go down. I talked to Sean and Jason. They're out there walking around someplace. I'm going to go down in a couple of minutes and hook up with them and run this race. And then I'll check in after.
Hey, this is Chris, and one of the things I really like about this whole podcasting thing is the people I get to meet. So I made a quick list from just off the top of my head looking at Twitter and email and stuff like that, and this is what I got here. I got Ashlyn Dave, I got 4 Feet Running, Nick and Dan, I got Trilogy Running, Jason and Sean, I got Mark the Bama Runner and his trail shoes, I got Nate Dix with his bad Achilles, I got Joe Beers, I got Rich Scott and Super Ken and Buckeye Outdoors, I got Stuart Barrington, Helen Whitleg from Scotland, Dirt Dog and his 50K, I got Ari, who asked an interesting question about kosher athletic gels, Kevin from Just Finished, Solo Runner, Martha Van, Marathon Maritza is another one out there, Bike Coastalite, that whole crew out there, Aaron, Marathon Girl 26.2, who I just met on Sunday in Atlanta, Mary McManus, Abel Charo, my friend in Hollywood, Yvette Francino, my friend in Colorado, Adam, the lone wolf runner with his great recipes, Jeffrey Elmer, the guy from the Indoor Marathon, Tony from Zappos, the CEO over there, who gave me access to his people and a great interview, good company, Darren from Kona Endurance, Kevin Gwynn from the Extra Mile and his new twins, and all the folks who send submissions in over there. Randy from Surf Shelf, Jeff Galloway, Rob, the Ultra Dad. Rob, I know you're out there. I know you're listening. Keep up the good work, man. We'll see you sometime. Steve, the famous Steve Runner from Pedipedations, who did just the nicest guy in the world, did a fairly unsolicited long promo of my road race, you know, no muss, no fuss, so great guy, takes a lot of heat, but a great guy. Nigel, everybody knows Nigel, running from the Ripa, Lisa from Fresno, Carlos, one of my first listeners, big trail runner, crazy guy, Gordon from Run to Disney, Gordon Scott, going out to the Himalayas, Carrie, and she gave me a recipe for bean soup, Tony Harvey, and all she's doing for the Runner's Roundtable. Daryl with his I Run In Your Shirt thing, Brad Newman, who I ran with out in San Fran, Dean Carnassus, Coach Ken from Running Stupid, Mango Runner, Jody, who we don't know what happened to Jody, but I'm sure she's out there somewhere, Dan, I think Dan Pat B is what his username is, Trevor and Glenn, who talked to me, Jeff from Tampa, Audrey,
All the guys at Runcast TV, Snow Shadow, Jen from Minnesota, Peter Shankman with his Helper Reporter out online, gets me some good leads. Tri Boomer and Brett and that whole sick Iron Man triathlon crew, who I really like their attitude. John Gordon, my positivity coach. Denny Ebshire from Newton Shoes. Steve Bourne from Hammer Nutrition. Bart Yasso, of course. Dave Kabir and Skip Cleaver, my friends over at Cool Running with Kevin Malloy and his wife Lynn in Australia. And just the list just goes on. So, I mean, hey, thank all of you guys. If I don't say it, then I am remiss. Thank all you guys for enriching my life, because this is really, really what keeps me going, you know? So thank you very much.
And now for our featured interview.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing? We're back.
Excellent.
As I always say. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
A little bit of an echo on my end, but you never know how it's going to record.
Okay.
So, Julianne.
Yes.
By Coastalite.
That's my handle on Twitter, yes.
We met because I'm on Twitter and you're on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And I saw you and your little clique of West Coast women always chatting about going out for a run. So I think
yeah.
I started following you guys.
Yeah, we tend to talk about running a lot and try to get together once or twice a month to run together.
Yeah, you're out in San Fran, right?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I was in San Fran 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
I went running with Newman.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he was out in this area.
Yeah, he lives right in San Francisco someplace.
Oh.
He's actually one of those strange people who actually grew up there.
Oh, that's rare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we went for a jog in Golden Gate Park when I was out there.
Oh, nice.
And there's another guy who lives out there who works downtown. He's the manager at the E&O Trading Company.
No way.
Yeah, his name is Ken.
Uh-huh.
And he does a podcast called Running Stupid. He's an ultra marathoner.
Oh, wow. I've been there a few times.
Yeah, and I went down there and ate in his restaurant and talked to his wife, and it was really good.
Oh, wow, cool. Fantastic. Yeah, the food is excellent
food.
There, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. I had a good trip. I like cool. San Francisco.
Darn, too bad we didn't get to meet up when you were out here.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's different. With the guys, it's okay, you know.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Start calling on calling on my lady Twitter friends, I'll start.
Right.
Somebody will slap a restraining order on me. Rightly so.
Good point.
So you wanted to chat about this cool kind of crazy thing that you're doing.
Yeah,
which is seven marathons in 7 continents in 7 weeks.
That's right.
Did I get it right? Yeah.
You did. Yeah, it's 7 marathons on 7 continents in 7 weeks, and it starts January of 2010. And it all started I read a lot of blogs about running blogs, and I have one myself. And I was browsing and reading a regular blog friend of mine, and she had mentioned this challenge, the 7 marathons in 7 continents in 7 weeks challenge, and it's hosted by a charity called Hope Runs, and they support and empower children with AIDS in Africa. It's a nonprofit organization that helps these children with education, with survival. They help them with drug abuse or rape or any other things that is happening in Africa, in actually sub-Sahara Africa, particularly in Tanzania and in surrounding countries, and to raise awareness for these children. And because these founders are also runners, they set up this event to do a major fundraising. And each of the runners is to raise $26,000 for the charity and also the travel costs for each participant. And there is currently about 30 of us all around the world. I've talked to a guy in South Africa, a woman in the UK, and there's a couple, I believe, in Australia, and there's a couple of us here in the United States and all anywhere in the world, actually. So we're all trying to raise money at the same time. And so that's part of the reasons why I was excited when you wanted to interview me, because I was hoping to raise more awareness for the cause as well as my fundraising effort.
Yeah, I thought I remembered that it was sort of East Africa too, like Kenya and those places too.
Yeah, I think there's branches of their organization all across like the South southern part of Sub-Sahara Africa, and you know, I don't know exactly where they are. I know particularly the one that I'm supporting is in Tanzania.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and that's like an orphanage, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I got, because I was reading the founder's webpage this morning.
Yeah.
Which is, go ahead, what is it?
It's www.hoperuns.org, and that is the charity that is putting on this this run, as well as all the different orphanages that they're supporting in Africa.
And they call it 777, right?
Yep, 777 Challenge.
Yep. And the seven continents are they don't have the U.S. They don't have the U.S. marathon laid out yet. But I think that's your choice or something?
No, actually, I think they just recently picked up the U.S. marathon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was ING Miami.
Yeah,
It was Europe that was still open, but the rest of them were nailed down.
Yeah, exactly. It is the European one. We do not know where it's going to be yet. I think that is still being ironed out. But it starts out in Miami in January, and then we go to Beppu, Japan. That's in February. And then after that, we go to Westport, New Zealand, somewhere in Europe, and then Moshi, Tanzania, which is super cool, the Kilimanjaro Marathon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is really exciting. And then
super cool, a bit difficult, though.
It sounds kind of hot, I'm assuming.
I think there's a mountain involved, isn't there?
Yeah, a big one. Yeah. I think it might be cooler up in the mountains, but I don't know what the route is exactly, but thinking it might be a bit of a challenge.
Okay.
Yeah, and then after Tanzania, we're going to Antarctica. That is like on the top of my list to do. Anyway, and then Argentina is the next one. The Marathon Fin del Mundo, something like that.
So how are you going to get in between all these places?
How am I going to get in between all these places? Well, do you mean like travel-wise?
Like the travel, yeah. I would think logistically this is a bit of a nightmare.
I think so, and it looks
sort of
like
sounds like my life, actually. A lot of airports and trains and cars and stuff.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, you may have to give me some tips on that when I get closer to this challenge, but it looks like we're going from east to west and hopefully gaining time as we travel.
Okay.
But, I don't know the logistics, and it's something that we're trying to figure out. Like, we'll be, I'm sure, traveling for, like, 2 days and then resting for a couple of days and then running a marathon.
Yeah.
So, we don't have all the logistics set up yet, and that won't be until later this year when we have our support and fundraising done.
What kind of training plan is being set up for you guys to be able to run seven marathons in 7 weeks?
They actually have an organization that they are associated with that's helping us with our training, and we haven't officially started on the training yet. But I personally, within the last 6 months, I've been on this running kick, and for about 5 years now, I've been running like one marathon a year, maybe a couple of halves in between. But in the last 6 months, I've run four marathons and half dozen halves. I just ran the Napa Valley Marathon in March, earlier this month, and then I have the Big Sur Marathon coming up next month.
Those are both very pretty.
Very pretty, and which is one of the reasons why I signed up. And in hindsight, I should have probably considered Big Sur, maybe not considered Big Sur, because it's a very tough course. And
right.
I don't know if
but it's pretty.
But it is pretty, yes. So I'm planning to run with my camera and take lots of pictures.
Oh, maybe
take it easy.
When's that one?
It's April 26th.
Oh, I have a road race on that day.
Oh.
I'm the race director. I better show up.
Oh, yeah. You better show up. Which race?
It's a Groton road race. It's up where I live.
Oh.
Yep.
Cool.
So, and then I got to run Boston on the 20th.
Oh.
Our hometown marathon up here.
Wow. That's my other dream, one day. I'm not fast enough to qualify for my age category yet, but hopefully within the next year, after maybe my 777 challenge, maybe Boston is next.
You'll have enough miles.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know about the speed, but hopefully.
You just wonder how to keep yourself healthy with all that travel and all that abuse. you know, how to keep yourself healthy through that process.
Yeah, and I've noticed I've been racing a lot the past couple of months, and I'm starting to notice a little bit more tear on my body, like wear and tear on my legs and joints, and I'm starting to feel things that I didn't quite before, because I had plenty of recovery time previously, but now that I have a half marathon this Sunday up in Portland, and this is like my fourth or fifth weekend where I've had race straight, like week after week, and so this is sort of my little tryout to see if I can handle, you know, 7 marathons in 7 weeks, and I'm not even running marathons. I'm doing more like 10Ks and half marathons, but
yeah, I would think that there's going to be a bit of a psychological challenge as well when you get a couple marathons into this thing and you're looking up, you know, when you only have one or two left, I'm sure you'll be fine, but when you're looking up at three or four more, you'll be going, what did I get myself into?
Oh, yeah, and as a matter of fact, I ask myself that every day. Why did I sign up for this? Why am I going through all this to raise $26,000 for the charity and an additional like $15,000 for travel? And
yeah, you know, you can sign up for your local breast cancer walk and raise $500. You'll be happy as heck.
Yeah.
You know, you could sign up to raise $2,500 and get yourself a free pass to the Boston Marathon. But you're going whole hog. You're going for a tuition payment to Harvard or Yale here.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking the other day, gosh, this raising $45,000 could have bought me a nice car, but of course, you know, it wouldn't be. I'm sure Hope Runs is a better cause and a much more rewarding challenge than owning a car. So, a brand new car, anyway. So, yeah, no, you're right. It would have been much easier. I could have done something much on a much smaller scale, but I know that's doable. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to do it, I might as well go all out and just see if I can achieve this. It's not easy. I knew it wasn't going to be easy when I started, and it hasn't been easy to raise the money. I'm like barely like 1% there.
Yeah.
And it's something that I'm counting on my friends and family, as well as my the people that I connect with online, like on my blog or Facebook or Twitter, and I'm really counting on my social media network to really kind of help me and spread the word, and with you with your podcast subscribers, hopefully, you know, they'll hear this and check into Hope Runs and maybe check out my site and maybe inspire to give a little bit. You know, anything counts from $1 to $5 to $10, and if anybody's inspired, I'll take $100 or more.
Well, yeah, I think that's what you got to remember is that the power of social media is you can touch a lot more people. And if you can get, you know, $1 from 26,000 people, it's the same as getting $26,000 from one person.
Exactly. And, you know, I felt like, you know, I have a decent network, and my extended network within that I should have millions of people.
Right.
But it's not always easy to get them sparked up to say, hey, do you want to donate, especially in this, economy and other hardships that people are facing. It's hard to say, can you help me and these children in Africa and give $5 so that, you know, they'll have books to read or learn how to type or, you know, connect to the outside world or, you know, help me run 7 marathons in 7 weeks and, you know, 7 continents. So I really hope that people will get a chance to check the website out, fundraising page. You know.
Yeah, so what's your giving site address?
So my giving site address is actually www.giveforward.org/hoperuns. So that's www.giveforward.org/hoperuns, HOPERUNS. So that's my giving page, and it's set up, it's a fundraising page that anybody can use, and as a matter of fact, I've heard that most of these most of the people that use Give Forward are runners or triathletes or people who are raising money for, like, team and training or other community nonprofit efforts. So
Yeah, I ran a marathon. What day is today? Today Tuesday?
Today's Tuesday.
I ran a marathon Sunday, and there was a lot of those purple-shirted people, the team and training people there.
Yeah, they're all over the place. And, you know, maybe one day, now that I have this fundraising effort, you know, challenge under my belt, maybe raising $4,000 won't be such a huge challenge like I thought it was.
Well, see, with those guys, they make you give you the credit card first, right?
Oh, really?
Well, a lot of them. I think you have to commit a certain amount. Right. So if you fail in your fundraising efforts, they just you pay. I think,
oh wow!
On some of those charities. So do you have to write a check to these guys for $26,000 if you fail to come up to the bar?
No, unfortunately, no. I do think that if I don't meet the required amount to participate, then whatever I raise ends up. I basically don't get to participate, which is
but
really
they take
sad.
Your money anyhow.
But they take my money anyway and support the other people who are doing it. So, you know, I'm going to do this. I am going
right.
to somehow raise $40,000 because I mean, it's a great cause. I feel
right.
like even though these kids are in Africa, you know, I don't know them personally, but it's empowering children. I'm all for that. And this is one of my lifelong dreams to run 7 marathons in 7 continents, especially in Antarctica. And if this is, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity where I get to do it, so I'm...
Yeah, and I think from reading a little bit about the charity, they're not just giving money or food to starving people in Africa. What they're doing is more development. It's more value-based.
Right.
As opposed to just, providing them with stuff. They're giving skills and giving schools and infrastructure and other stuff that is more targeted to not just keeping them alive, but making them better, more functional parts of the world society. Is that appropriate?
That is absolutely appropriate. They're providing infrastructure and teaching them, providing like school systems and planning out what their needs are and how they should meet them. And so they're giving them a tool, basically, to survive and giving them not just tools, too, but they give a lot of self-confidence and they're teaching them how to be community builders, like you said, about schools and athletic programs. And those don't exist in Africa. I mean, those are just unheard of. And so this program goes in there and they're able to provide the opportunities that are not normally available.
All right. So you've been running a half marathon or a 10K or a marathon every weekend for the last, 2 months? I've been seeing you come by with your tweets and people
yeah.
congratulating you on stuff.
Yes, I have.
What's it been like? I mean, what's your biggest learning so far? What base were you coming from? Just sort of a casual one marathon campaign a year?
For the past 4 or 5 years, I've just been one big marathon a year and just a couple of smaller races here and there. And I decided sometime last year that I was going to qualify for Boston. I was going to train really hard. And I knew this year wasn't really going to be the year. I just wanted to do a sub-4-hour marathon, which is pretty big for me. And in December, I met my goal. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to work from Boston. And from there, I've been running a lot and really pacing and training and just signing up for a lot of races just to get a feel of what it's like to race intensely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you look like a youngster. What do you need, a 340 or a 330?
Not that young. I need a 345, 349.
349.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need a 330. See, you women.
I know. We got you guys by a few more minutes, yeah.
As old as I am, I still need a 330. Yeah, that's great. So, I mean, what have you learned from putting all this intense training in? What are you taking away from it?
I've learned that my body could do a lot more than I ever thought it could. And I've learned that if I really put my mind to it, I could run marathons. I could run a marathon. I've been running a marathon almost one every month for the last 4 months. And it's not something I ever thought I could do. I consider myself slightly chubby. You know, I didn't think I could even run as fast as I could. It's not something physically I thought would be possible, but it's something that I've learned that if I try, if I put my mind to it, it's achievable, it's doable. And it's been a really great feeling.
And that is, I would say, probably the number one learning that people take away from endurance sports is the light bulb goes off that says, hey, I can do this, and the only thing that was keeping me from doing it was I didn't think I could do it, right?
Exactly.
And then people go, okay, what else can I do that I didn't think
yeah.
I could do? And that's where it sort of unlocks the trap for you, and I know that happened with me.
Yeah, that's, I think, how I ended up here doing this interview with you, running this 7 marathon challenge next year. Just, it's something, you know, the only thing that could, only thing that's going to stop me is me saying that I can't do this, and if I give up, I can't do
right.
it.
Right.
So I'm,
you know, some of the other the people I talked to were doing similar sort of charity gigs. They organized, like, you know, parties and suppers and concerts and stuff to raise money. You thinking about doing any of that? I would think where you live would be a good place to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, I actually do have a couple of events coming up. I have a charity bartending event in San Francisco, actually next Thursday, at a bar called The Boardroom. And actually, a couple of the girls that I run with, they're called the Rojos. They are bartending with me. Yeah, it's Running Our Hearts Out in short,
okay.
Rojos. And we plan on all the, actually, this is great because all the cash tips that people come in and give to the bartenders will be going straight to Hope Runs. So it will be, you know, I don't know how much I'm going to raise. We're targeting about anywhere from $500 to $1,000 that day. So it'll
okay,
be a good
so start. Your Twitter address is Bicostalite.
Uh-huh, Bicostalite.
Which is great, I like that. That's good.
Thank you.
Good, I forget what the phrase is for that sort of thing, but good, good lexicology anyhow.
Yes.
So you're going to tweet us out all these things that you have going on, and we'll retweet them out to the world.
That would be fantastic,
and,
yes.
And use the hashtags, you know, to get the bigger group.
Yeah, and I plan to have a couple more events, like happy hour, and actually I am planning a dinner party with a friend who's a chef of mine who had offered to donate her time to cook, and, you know, I'll charge people to come in, have a gourmet sit-down meal, and all of that will also go to Hope Runs.
All right, that's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, you know, we'll probably also have a virtual, like, 10K, too, at some point this spring.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah. All right, cool.
If you could make it something a little bit longer, though.
You know. I know, for all the ultra-distance lovers.
You should do the run-to-work thing like I do.
Oh, ooh. I live really far from my work, so that's
yeah, how far?
I travel almost 50 miles one way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You work on the other side of the bridge?
I do. Way down in the South Bay, yeah. So it's really far. But I used to live in New York, and actually that's one of the reasons why I'm called Bicostalite, I call myself Bicostalite, because I used to do New York to San Francisco every other week, and I got tired of it, so actually I moved back.
Yeah, I would think
yeah.
you'd get tired of that.
Yeah.
All right, well,
yeah.
you know, that's great.
Thank you.
Best of luck in your endeavors.
Oh, thank
and,
you so much.
And give us the web addresses again so everybody has them. And we'll,
sure. So the Hope Runs website is www.hoperuns.org, and if you'd like to give to my cause, it's giveforward.org/hoperuns. And I also actually have a little blog regarding my fundraising, and that's www.bicostalite.com, bicostalite.com.
All right. That's a
yeah.
lot. It's great
Thank
talking
you.
To you, Julianne.
Oh, thanks so much, Chris.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Folks, hey, it's me and Buddy. We're down here by the pond. You can hear the peepers squeaking out here. The spring has sprung. It's mud season in New England. Snow's almost all gone. It's about, I don't know, 45 degrees out Fahrenheit. That's my friend the dog swimming in the pond. Now, you remember we were talking 4 weeks ago and there was a foot of ice out here? That's the amazing thing about New England. And all these frogs have sprung to life. Life springs eternal. Can't keep it down. Now the border collie's out swimming around. Wish I had the video camera. I don't know what he's looking. Oh, he's pulling a stick in. He's trying to pull a stick in. Like a tree that's floating out there. But he's going to... One of these times I'm going to have to go and rescue him. So I'll give you my race report from Atlanta. What day is it? It's Tuesday. I ran the marathon in Atlanta on Sunday. And so your first thought is, Chris, why are you running so soon? Well, you know, I kind of jogged it. So it's, again, if you don't, you know, if you're not competing, it doesn't take that much out of you. It's just not a long run, you know? So, yeah, I went down there. I flew down Saturday morning, got in there. And it was kind of overcast and drizzly. Went down to the Georgia Dome and picked up my number. Met Sean and Jason, and we walked around and chatted a bit. That was kind of fun. then I was looking for somebody to have dinner with, so I ran into this South African, this Africana named Peter, this ultramarathoner, and we were playing who's got the best running history, and you know, so I was like, yeah, I'm training for Boston, I'm running my 11th Boston, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm training for Comrades, I'm running my 9th Comrades, so he won, but he was going to run the marathon too. As a training run. So I had dinner with him, had another excellent pre-race training meal, went to Hooters, had some of those hot wings and a big bacon cheddar cheeseburger. Huh? That's good pre-race food. Don't do what I do, people. Don't try this at home. So then the race went off at 7 o'clock in the morning, so I went over, got up at 5, took a shower, ate a power bar, you know, drank my traditional 3 cups of coffee, went down, found Jason and Sean there in the media tent with Jenny from Twitter, and so we chatted a bit, and then we went down to the start, and I was going to run with Sean. Jason was in the back because he was going to run with the 5-hour pace group, and so Sean and I were at the porta potty line, I think, when the gun went off, but it took us a while, like 5 minutes to cross. That we were pretty far back in the 3 corral, and the beginning of the race I really liked the course because they had hills early, so it slowed you down out of the gate. But the problem was we were in with all the half marathoners, and there was a lot of half marathoners, you know, 3 times the amount of half marathoners as there were marathoners. So, and on the hills, what they would accordion, you know, because they don't know how to run hills, so on the uphills they slow way down, and on the downhills they speed up, so you would accordion behind these guys, and so we're constantly having to sort of like run sideways and slow down and speed up and jump out of people's way, which was kind of, so the net result was we didn't even catch the 4-hour flag carrier till like mile 7 or something. We were way out in the course, and so we were really far back in the pack and really running slow with the half marathoners until they split off at mile 7. And then because we were kind of delayed, you know, I wanted to catch us up to, you know, under the 4-hour mark, because, you know, I figured Sean would have like a 3:50 in him based on his training, you know, at least. So we put in a couple of fast miles and caught up to to about a 3:50. We passed the 4-hour group and put about 5 minutes in the bank. And so everything was going cool. And, you know, around the half, Sean started to struggle. And I could see his stride was starting to get cramped. And this is some learning for you guys if you're just starting a marathon. But you don't want your stride to shorten, because the end result is, you know, the end of that progression is that you're doing the death shuffle. So if your stride, you can't let your stride shorten. So, you know, around 17 he was struggling. I said, oh, you know, I gotta. So I came up with a strategy. My strategy was to help him through, try to distract him and keep him loose until, you know, mile 23, 24, and then see if I could get him mad enough to finish. And it worked okay, but I got him to mile 25. So before he just said, he started, you know, started to see the light, started to, you know, had to keep him away from the light. So we walked the light there at the end, and he got, I think he was dehydrated or something else, but we coaxed him across the finish line. I think he said we ran like a 4:13. And with that, I escorted him into the med tent because he said he was dizzy and his arms were numb and stuff. So I wanted to make sure that he gets some, you know, I've seen, you know, most of the time they'll just slap a saline bag on you, fix it right up. But they sort of fed him cookies and water and stuff and got him back on it. So good job for Sean. And then Jason trundled across around 6-something, I think. Again, the hills kind of whacked him out too. Very hilly course, but I liked it. I really liked the hills because I think, you know, a serious marathoner, it would help you pace those nice hills, break things up a little bit. Because it was downhill as well as uphill, right? So. I liked it. I really liked the course. The crowds were a little thin. It's third year race, so they're still working out some of the kinks, but I did like the race. I did like the course. Had a good run. You know, got a nice 26-miler long run in, and got to meet those guys and record some stuff. Posted a video up on YouTube, so I'd say it's a success, and I think Sean probably learned more about marathoning in that day than he would have in training for another 6 months. So I think the next one he'll kick some serious butt. So the dog has found a rock out in the middle of the pond, and he's standing on the rock in the pond, but the rock is slightly underwater. So it looks like the dog is standing on the water out in the middle of the pond. It's an excellent, if I had the video camera, I'd take a video. It's getting dark. I got to go. I'm going to have to switch my headlamp on. Come on, Boo. Let's go.
Okay, folks, that's it. Episode 63 in the can. Next week, I'm going to interview the famous Dave McGilvery, the race director of the Boston Marathon. So send me all your Boston Marathon questions. Dave's a great guy. I've talked to him before. Read his book. Buy his book. Read his book. Learn about Dave. Excellent role model for people. And don't forget to sign up for the Groton Road Race. It's coming up April 26th. www.grotonroadrace.com. Prettiest 10K in the world. Nice slice of New England. Worth the drive. Expect to see you there. So that's it. I'm going to let you off easy. I'm not going to give you any more words of wisdom today. I'm just going to thank you for making me part of your social circle. And please reach out to me, CYKTRussell at Twitter, CYKTRussell at Yahoo.com, or go to my website, RunRunLive.com. All that stuff works. Let's say hey, get together on Facebook, ask me some questions, love the friends, love it, love it, love it. Hey, me and Buddy and I, we say we will see you out there. And the music tonight, brought to you by the starving artists over at the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.org. Go and look at that. Give them their 99 cents. Keep them alive, because everybody needs good music. I got some interesting tunes here. I opted for some Latino music, and it's by a group called Rough Sax, and the name of this ditty is Bay of Pigs, so lots and lots of interesting double entendre going on in there. So, hey you guys, have a great week. See you next week. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Run Run Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line and I will see you out there.
Run, run, live. The podcast for all your running needs.